Told Melissa I was nervous as a cat, but but it's so good to be here, and I just want to thank everyone for having me here. And I'm not a speaker. I just give my heart. And before I start, just telling you things, you know, a lot of it will be about my husband, also Kevin's dad. And hope I don't just break down, but you know. It's been years ago. It's back in, I guess, in 85. My husband and I, we'd started out in a bad way. And, you know, it just was out in sin, was both lost, and just didn't know the Lord, weren't serving the Lord, and just went through a time, several years of just being in sin. And, but, you know, I started working. I took a second shift job because our marriage was in trouble. And I just wanted to get away from the situation. And he was working day shift, and I was working nights. And but God put me in right in the midst of about five people that were Christians. And here, you know, I was coming in lost, dressed whatever way I wanted to dress. And, you know, I'd be sitting there reading Glamour magazine or whatever during my lunch or whatever. And that they would be talking about the Lord, and they'd just be excited. They were so excited. They'd come and just talk about what happened in church and different things. And this little black lady, she's precious to my heart. She got saved when she was like 55, and she told me she had been out in the world really bad, just clubs and bars and bad drinker and things like that, and just wild. And she said that God broke her. And she was sharing this with me. She knew I was hurting. She knew I was in trouble. And because I was broken. I was just real troubled about my marriage, the way everything was. And I just felt like I had just gotten in such a, through my life, had just made so many bad choices. And, but she would talk to me at night, and she would give me tracts. And I'd take them, and I'd read them, you know. But she always had joy. It was just like she was excited, and she was excited about what God was doing in their church. And, you know, you hear so many people that are in church that are running the church down. Even though they're going to that church, they, you know, talk about people, or, you know, it's like, and it's negative. But, you know, when a church is excited and they love everyone, you know, it's going to reach out. It's going to touch somebody. Because I know I've worked with a college kid and this lady, black lady, and two other, a brother and a sister. And they loved the Lord, and it showed. And, you know, and I'd go home, and I'd be so down and out, and I'd cry going home, or because just didn't know what I was going to face. And but you know, one night God just struck me going home at midnight, and I just gave God, I just told God, I said, God, I don't know what to do, because I had got to the bottom. I just felt like my life was just out of control. But, you know, I prayed and I said, God, I don't know. I'm maybe hitting this. Am I too close? But I said, God, you know, I love Ron. And I don't know if it's to be in this marriage or not. I don't know. I didn't know what to do. But I said, if I'm supposed to be here and this is what you want in my life, I said, you're going to have to give me a love and a trust for him. And, you know, and I said, I asked him into my heart, and I said, God, I want you in my heart. I want to live for you, and I want peace. I just prayed for peace in my life. And, but, you know, I told him, I said, and I was talking about Sunday school this morning, about asking. You know, we don't ask for things. God said to ask me. And, you know, and a lot of things is, we think it's trivial, but if it's burdening you and troubling you, ask God for it. And, you know, we'd been through so much in our marriage. just a short time, and even before our marriage. And, you know, I didn't trust Ron that far. I didn't trust him. I had so much distrust because of just things that had happened. And, you know, and I'd got bitter. I'd got angry, and I was just holding resentment. And, you know, and I asked God, I said, God, I don't want a man that's going to church just because I want him to. Because I worked with men. I worked with men that went to church every Sunday with their wives, and they lived like the devil all week. And, you know, you couldn't see Christ in them at all. And, you know, I said, I don't want that, because I wouldn't trust him. You know, I still wouldn't trust him if he'd come to church with me every time the doors were open. Because, you know, when you don't see that in him, I couldn't trust him. And I said, God, I want a man that loves you, that wants to go to church and wants to be a part of that church and will love me like you said you'd love me. And, you know, but that's what I asked. The first night I asked God in my heart, I was praying for my husband. I wanted that. And I said, if it's for us to be in this marriage, you've got to give me some peace and give me a trust for him and help me. But, you know, I stayed on edge all the time before I prayed and accepted God. I was just so, cried every time, turned around, just because he would just hurt me. It was just things, you know. But, you know, after I gave my life to the Lord and I went home that night, and Ron, he was asleep, and I woke him up, and I said, I need to talk to you. You know, we just talked for a couple hours, just, and, you know, he listened. He was very good about, you know, and we just got up, and I just gave him my heart, told him what I did, told him what was happening in my life, and I said, you know, I'm going to church, and I'm going to take my daughter to church, and I said, if you and the boys want to come, you're welcome. But I said, I couldn't make them go. They weren't going to go if their dad didn't go. And I said, I told him, I said, but I'm not going to pressure you. I said, that's up to you. I said, that's something you'll have to come to terms with. But I said, me and Christy's going to church. And I said, I want to go. And I worked second, so Sunday was the only day I got to go. And I'd get up and go, and every Sunday morning, and a lot of times if the kids weren't there, the boys, and they'd come about every other weekend, I guess. And, of course, Ron, the oldest one, lived with us for a while. And but I would go and take Christy, and then I would tell him if we went somewhere after church, I'd say I won't be back by this time because I wanted to go to church Sunday night. And it aggravated him because he was like, well, why can't you just miss, you know, going on Sunday night? And I said, no, I want to go. So he did. We got to where he would do that. But, you know, you live before him. You know, I just started living before him. My dress changed. The way I talked changed. Everything about me changed. And I didn't tell anybody. I just changed. God convicted me as I read his word. Things started falling off. The sin that was in my life and things that I knew was hindering me and my walk with Christ, you know, because I wanted to be pleasing to him. And, you know, one of the first things that I read was forgiveness. It was talking about forgiveness, and it said, you know, I can't quote the scripture, but it talks about forgiving someone. If you don't forgive them, if you don't forgive people that's hurt you or done things to you, you're going to be held accountable for that. You know, I believe what we don't forgive is going to be on us. You know, it's not going to be on them because a lot of times they don't even know what's going on. But we've got to forgive them, whether they accept it or not. We need to forgive them. And when I come to that place of total forgiveness, I started loving my husband in a different way. Because I had forgiven him. I didn't have all this hardness and bitterness toward him. I was able to have peace with him. And we were doing okay. But he was still not in church. And I went for about a year and a half. And, you know, I remember one day at work, Because I did. I dressed every way in the world, you know, going to, because we were allowed to wear whatever we wanted to wear, and, you know, people just wore whatever, and I was one of them. And, you know, I started changing my dress. And when I'd go to church or work, I remember was clocking in, and this guy said, "What happened to her?" And my little black friend, Lily was her name, she said she found Jesus. And also, it just, I never have forgot it. And I just, and they did it. You know, it'll start showing up on you. When you start living for the Lord, it's going to start showing up. And, you know, and my husband, I know, I'd come home every time we'd go to church. I'd come home and I'd tell him all the things. I was excited about the church. And I'd tell him what was happening in the church. And then if somebody, I remember one time a lady that was in her Sunday school class, she had one son. He got killed in a car wreck. And I remember her being so broken. And I remember going home and telling Ron, and I told him I want to go to the funeral home, and he went with me. And you know, and it was the saddest thing, I guess, I had, because I had the one daughter, and, you know, of course, we had this, Ron had his sons, but I couldn't imagine that, losing a child. But I shared that with him, and I was just sharing how people were embracing her and loving her and praying. And I knew it touched his heart. But it was on Christmas we went he did go with me to a Christmas party that was in my Sunday school class. And everybody in that church, we called it a wall of prayer. Every Sunday night and Wednesday night, they would say, you know, everybody come to the altar and let's have a prayer and just request prayer for, you know, whoever you wanted to request prayer for, if anybody had a need. And we'd line the wall just around this way. And I'd always stand on this side right here, and I always prayed for my husband. And that church prayed for him. They knew him by just me, you know, because I'm a very detailed person. I'm just like, okay, and I'll tell you my whole history, I guess, before I get through here, but forgive me. I'm lost train of thought. I'm sorry. But we would be around the wall, and, you know, and that just got the church, we would just be in the altar praying. And, you know, they'd go, had a couple that went and visited with him, and he was, of course, he was a drinker and things, and he'd sit there, and he just very blatant toward them, and, you know, and he sitting there drinking his beer and never put it down when they come in and had just showed no respect. You know, just like he said, you know, I'm in my house. You know, I can do what I want. And he had that attitude. But, you know, this was maybe a couple months before, like, I guess about January, I think. And February the 22nd, I got up. Was getting ready to go to church, and he'd got up and took a shower and got ready, and usually he'd take the boys home, and then he would go do whatever he wanted to. But, you know, God gave me peace in it. I didn't, whatever, he'd come back, and, you know, and I didn't know what he was doing, you know, and usually it was something not good, but I had peace in it. I was able to have peace through it because God gave me that because I asked him for it. But, you know, that morning he got up, and I asked him, I said, "Well, where are you going today?" And he just looked at me, and he said, "I'm going with you." He got the boys. They were there, and he said, "Y'all need to get up because they're sleeping in, you know." He said, "Y'all need to get up and get dressed." And they were like, "Where are we going?" And he said, "We're going to church." And they're like, "Church?" You know, and so we all went as a family to church. And I always sit on that third row right there. We were sitting there, and the preacher got up, and he had visited a guy from, that was in a burn unit that had got burned 90% of his body. He started telling it what had happened. And he said, you know, this man told him, he said, you know, it's just like God gave me just a taste of hell, what hell was going to be. And, you know, there wasn't a dry eye in that church. You know, it was just a, but he was just preaching God's word and, you know, just the power of his word and just talking about hell and things. And next thing I knew, Ron wanted, he came to the altar. And, you know, he didn't come just to the altar. We had an altar right here in the front, a table, like, went across. And, you know, he didn't come up and just say this soft little prayer or just quiet prayer or just, you know, just a simple prayer. He cried out. I've never heard anybody pray out like he did. He was crying for forgiveness. He was crying out, wanting God to come into his heart. And the whole church, I mean, the whole church was in the altar. It was just like everybody come up. And he didn't know, but me and my aunt and uncle there at the time. And when he stood up, he looked at me and he said, you've got a new husband. Amen. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I sure hope so. And you know, and from that day, it was like, I mean, it was just like God changed him. He never went back. He kept going forward. I mean, he was just like going forward. And I had went to work on Wednesday night that same week. And I didn't think about him going to church on Wednesdays, you know, me not there or nothing, you know. And my aunt, he had already was asleep when I'd come in that night. And then he got up and went to work, and I didn't get to talk to him. And my aunt called me, and she said, I thought Ronnie was going to preach last night. I'm like, did he go to church? And she said, yeah. And she said he was just sharing things in his life. And just, she said, I thought he was going to preach. She said he was so excited and just about shout. And I was just like, really? Because I couldn't believe it. I was just like, that changed, because I just never dreamed of that big of a change. And from then on, it was just like we just kept moving forward. And God just blessed our home and our family. And, you know, and first got in, we'd built a new house and had a new car. And I'd always put money in for tithes or whatever. I didn't do tithes, but I put money in just in the offering plate. Well, he got burdened about tithes. He said, we need to start paying tithes. And we both had good jobs. We owed for a house and car and everything was in debt, you know, like we'd start out. And he said, we need to do something before we can pay tithes. And when we figured up with our what was making and paying out, we're like, wow, we can't do that. There's no way we can tithe. And I sold my car. The first person to come looked at it, bought it. I had an 85 back then, 85 Monte Carlo. And we went to a 73 long Chevrolet, Capri or something. I don't know. It was one of those long cars. And we sold our house first. Even the realtors came in that day. We didn't even have a sign in the yard. One of them called me that night and said, can I bring somebody tonight? And I'm like, sure. They come over, bought the house. We moved into a rental house because we wanted to get out of debt to where we could pay tithes and go for the Lord. And, you know, when we did, God blessed us. He's blessed us through our lives, you know. We were able to, because Ron was very, for those several, 7 years before he got saved, we went through all this stuff. And, He never mowed the yard. I was always mowing the yard. He was out playing ball, bowling, always going clubs or wherever. He was gone. He had no responsibilities toward, you know, things. But when he got saved, his whole life changed. He was a man of our house. He started taking care of the bills. He started taking care of the yard. He quit ball playing, and he loved ball. It wasn't that he didn't like it or want to play. He didn't have time for it. He wanted to go for the Lord, and he did. And he quit everything. He just, you know, and he was good at all of it. But he just had a heart to serve God. And, you know, the first place he went was to the jail. He wanted to witness to his cousin that they always ran around together and they was always out ever doing everything. But he was in jail at the time, and he said, I want to go see Michael. We went to the Polk County Jail, and he went in, just, you know, went in there, and he said, I want to see Michael Petit. It was after church one day, and they said, well, who are you? And, you know, because they didn't just let people go back there to see people, you know. But he was bold, and he went in, and he said, I'm his cousin, but he said, I'm a man of God. And he said, I just want to share with Michael what God's done with me. And they let him go back. And, you know, Michael went on to Brushy Mountain. He had a sentence he's going to have to serve, and he went to Brushy Mountain. And we started going to visit Michael up there at Brushy Mountain. And he started sharing with Michael. We just went, and we'd take things that back then you could have like a little picnic out with your family if you was at a certain status. And he would come out, and we'd have just a little picnic there, and there'd be several people around, you know, having these little picnics with their families. And we'd always pray with Michael and talk about the Bible. Well, different people, they'd come up and say, will you pray for me and my family, or will you, you know, and they'd just, they noticed that we, that's why we were there. And well, Ron kept going. People would call him all over from the church, and they would say, will you come and talk to my son? Will you come? He's in the jail down so-and-so, you know. And Ron would go, and he just started going for the Lord. And he'd give his testimony everywhere. Everybody would call and say, well, can you come and give your testimony, what God's done for you? And he would go, and we went a lot of places like that. And then he had worked 20 years at Eaton Corporation, and 10 years of it was a lost man. And they knew it. They knew, because he was a very lost man. And but, you know, when he got saved, the last 10 years, they knew it too. They respected him and knew him. When he had 20 years in, he had been going with this ministry called Rock of Ages. They went to all these prisons, and they'd have revivals, and he would go and stay 2 or 3 days at a time, you know, going on these revivals. And they would go several states, all these different states. And he said he was down in Alabama, and he said God just burdened him for Tennessee. He said death row is what God burdened him for. He said I just had a heart for these men on death row, because, you know, there's locked down all these hours and couldn't go out to the services, you know. That's when we went to Miracle Lake. He went and talked to Brother Jack. You know, they had a prison ministry there that where men could come out and have Christian training, and when they came out of, if they wanted it, they could come to Miracle Lake for so much time and learn about the Lord. And but Brother Jack said, he said, you just keep going. And for about, I guess it was about 2 or 3 years, Ron went every Thursday night. He would drive from Athens to Nashville. He'd go and work at 4 o'clock, get off at 4 o'clock, drive to Nashville, do a service with death row one-on-one. He would go, whoever wanted to talk to him, and he would go and talk to them, drive back, go back into work the next morning at 4. And then he would go on the weekends or any vacation time, he would go. That he took his vacations, and we'd go to Nashville, and a lot of times he would go in different prisons. And that's how God got us started. And then in 97, God opened the door for us to go full-time. And, you know, and Ron called me. He was at a place in a prison. He called me, and I'd had an awful weekend. Just seemed like everything tore up or everything was not good. And I'm like, it was sort of like the Calgon commercial. Some of the older people remember it, like, Lord, take me away from here. Just get rid of all this crazy stuff. And he called me and he said, Debbie, he said, are you ready to move? And I about dropped the phone and he said, are you ready to move to Nashville? I'd never been out of just a small town. You know, it's just like I'd never been anywhere like that or anywhere. And I said, yeah, I'm going to go wherever you go. And I said, wherever you're at, that's where I'm going to be. And then the Lord just started, everything just started falling in place. And I went through a car wash and it scratched my car all the way down. And I went back and I was talking to my cousin. He was a pastor up in a little town called Springtown. And he was going to fix my car. And he said, and we were getting ready to sell our house. And Lord had blessed us with another house during all this when we were in church. And we were going to sell our house and move to Nashville. And he asked me, he said, what have you been up to? And I said, well, I've been just doing things around the house. And I said, we're fixing get it on the market. He said, well, do you care if him and his wife come down to look at it? And I said, before we put it on the market. And I said, no, come. And he said, can we come tomorrow night? And I said, well, yeah, come on down. And they come down, they walked around and looked at everything. And we were sitting there on the front porch and he looked at her and he said, well, what do you think? And she said, I want it. And in 3 weeks, had the house sold, moved out, and was living in an apartment because we weren't ready to go to Nashville right then. We was thinking it was going to take 6 or 7 months or at least to sell the house. And we stayed there that summer and moved in October that year to Nashville. And Ron told me, he said, you know, he said, I hate that. And we were having yard sales every week. Just get rid of stuff because we knew we were going to really have to downsize. And he said, I hate that you're going to get rid of all your things. You know, and I said, I'm not. I said, it feels good. I said, to get all this junk gone. I said, you know, it felt good just to not have everything, which, you know, it seemed like you keep accumulating everywhere you go. You get more and more. But we did that, and when God moved us, he put us in a little garage apartment, and it had a bedroom, but just had like a little half room here, you know. And we slept on a blow-up mattress. Every time somebody would come, we'd give them our bedroom. And they didn't know we were sleeping on a blow-up mattress in the living room, you know. And we did that for 7 years. Well, God gave us the opportunity to buy this little house. And we went, and we thought it was a mansion to us after living in an apartment. But Brother Jack was over. They'd come every once a month and stay with us. They was on the prison tour. But they would come over, and the very night that we had just moved in, we was going to use our bedroom as a spare. Our bedroom suit is the spare bedroom. And we had got a bedroom suit, but we didn't have a mattress and springs yet. So here we were, had this blow-up mattress in the middle of this bed and on the floor. And after on all that 7 years, we'd been sleeping on this thing from time to time. And that thing went down. It was flat as flitter about 3 o'clock in the morning. And we got up. And, you know, we were like, Lord. And they brought our mattress and springs that day. But Brother Jack, he just couldn't believe it. He said, I couldn't believe y'all were sleeping on a blow-up mattress. But we thought, well, you know, the Lord, he kept it all the time we needed it. It was just as simple for us to, you know, have that. But, you know, God blesses you. You know, he will bless you. And I'm not saying it's not going to have its hard times. Because I tell you, for the last few years, it's been hard. But you know, I want to share this with you about Ron. And I guess it's been the hardest time I've ever had to go through. I never dreamed it. But when we started, he started having trouble with his memory, and I'm sure all of you, most of y'all probably sure knows this, but when he started having trouble with his memory, and we started going all these places trying to find out what was going on with him. And I guess the last visit that we had, when they told us, they kind of finally come out and just told us what it was and had all the paperwork saying, telling us what things were. And I was broken, I guess more than I'd ever been. And just felt, you didn't know. It was just a hard thing when they told us that he had Alzheimer's and they had him in the high fifth stage. And they thought he had the Lewy body dementia, is what they had put in the papers. And you know, it's a real fast kind. And, of course, my mother had had it for 14 years, and I was just, you know, you think, well, he's going, you know, maybe. But when we were going home that day, I was so distraught, and just crying and just real distraught. And he said, Debbie, he was just calm. And he said, Debbie, I know that you're real distraught over this. And he said, you know, but if this is what God wants for me, if this is his will, and he said, we're all going to leave this world some way if before he comes. And he said, if this is God's will for me, he said, first of all, my mother had it, you know, and he loved her. And he said, I'm no better than your mother to have this. And he said, you know, but if this is God's will for me, he said, I just want God to get the glory out of it. And, you know, he never complained. He went through so much stuff. I mean, he went down fast. And, you know, I still have a hard time with that. I still just, it hurts just to look back and remember some of the times. It was just hard. But he was precious. But, you know, I don't regret 1 minute of serving the Lord. And I still, God's been so good to me. And there's times when I am still broken. And just when I think of, sometimes it just hits me. I'm doing better. But there's times when God just, he has to be the one's holding me. And I'm like, God, you know my heart, and you know what's in store for me. I don't know. You know, and there's times of loneliness that you just, but God's there. I just have to pray. When I pray, you just, and then I'm okay. But, you know, we have to pray and we have to ask. And that's when God, when he hears our heart, and we're praying with a heart toward God, just like he's our Father. I'm his child. You know, my earthly father was not a good dad. But I have a heavenly father that is perfect. He loves me. And he loves all of his children. And, you know, he's not, in his eyes, I'm his. And, you know, I'm a treasure to him. And I think about that, you know, you just, and I know a lot of you in here has probably had bad situations with your mom or your dad or, you know, things that you might not have felt loved all the time. But, you know, anytime I go to God and my Father, he loves me. I know he loves me. And he brings comfort to me. He brings joy, you know, and I still have peace because he gives it to me every day. But I asked him for it. I asked him just to bring me peace. And, you know, I love Kevin and Ron and Melissa. It was good. It's so good to see them. It's been a while since I got to see them. And I pray for them. And I'm proud of Kevin and the church and just the ministry that y'all got going on. And when you walk in, and I went into the Sunday school. I got here early and went in one of the Sunday school classes. And it was good. It was just good to hear the excitement and people loving the Lord and the church. And I'm thankful for it, to see that in a church, because that, oh, we need it. We need that in churches. But I'm going to end this right here. But, well, I do want to say this thing here. I think it's in, I may be wrong, but I think it's in 1 Peter. But it talks about a husband can be won by the conversation of his wife. If anybody's here and their husbands are lost, or vice versa, I believe it's the same. And if they're still living a life of sin and you're trying to serve the Lord, just keep doing it and live before them. And I think the conversation is not only in your speech. I think it's in your conduct and the way you handle things and just way you take care of situations that may be unpleasant. But I think, you know, that's where, I believe that's where the conviction comes in, when the Holy Spirit starts dealing with them and they see you living a life. But just keep doing what you're doing. Don't let down. Because I believe, you know, God will let us. He gives us the desires of our hearts when we ask. And I just praise him today. And I just thank the church for letting me come.